It's break time with Christopher J. Today we're going to continue our look at Weird Al Yankovic. Let's time trip back to the 80s and 90s and start our story. Buckle up. So in the late 80s, Weird Al's career kind of had a few missteps that had happened. It happens with any artist. They kind of go up and down the charts and whatnot. But Al was able to rebound with an album called Off the Deep End. This is where he had a chance to spoof pop culture at that time. And what was big at that time was grunge and MC Hammer and the New Kids on the Block. So this is like the perfect time for him. And he made an album that was of that time. It charted. It had great songs on it. They were memorable. It was like the Al that we wanted. A few years later, like 2 or 3 years later, he released the album Alapalooza. And Alapalooza, the first song was Jurassic Park. And that thing set the world on fire. That was it was a big hit. It wasn't as big as Eat It, which wouldn't be beat on the charts until sometime into the next century. But the video, the claymation video of Jurassic Park, the quickness at which Weird Al went to a screening of Jurassic Park and then wrote this song and produced it and had this video shot is just absolutely astounding. And it still holds up today. I love it. It's fun. It's goofy. It's everything you want from Weird Al. That album from beginning to end is pretty good. If he has one misstep, it's the Flintstone song because I like the song. I hate the video, but that's me. The Alapalooza album also ends with him doing a polka. He did a polka on every album. This one, instead of doing a medley of songs of that time set to a polka beat, he did Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen and did it to a polka beat and got through this like 7-minute song in 2.5 minutes. It is fantastic. He followed Alapalooza 2 years later with Bad Hair Day, which had the spoof Amish Paradise, a spoof of Coolio's Gangsta's Paradise. And that also invaded pop culture because Coolio said that he never gave permission for Weird Al to do this, to take his song that meant something and turn it into comedy. The thing that's funny about Weird Al is what he does. He actually doesn't need permission to do what he does. I do know that when he's had an idea, he'll go to the artist and he'll pitch it, maybe putting together some lyrics, maybe pitching just the idea before he writes anything and invest time in something that will never see the light of day. But if it doesn't get approval from the original artist, he doesn't do it. He respects the artist and what they wanted. So if Coolio had said no, I'm fairly certain that Weird Al would have said okay and walked away from, again, another great song. It was a chance to have a music video with the mom from the Brady Bunch and have a bunch of Amish iconography. And who doesn't want that in the middle of the 90s? By the way, Weird Al, him getting permission from the original artist, that's 100% true. I know that he's gone to Paul McCartney and asked to parody certain things and has been turned down. The one artist that turned him down the most was Prince. Weird Al always had ideas for Prince songs, Prince song parodies, and he'd go to them, and Prince always said no. And in 2016, when Prince passed away at a fairly early age, people went to him and said, now that he's gone, are you going to do this? And Weird Al, forever the class act, said he didn't want me doing this when he was alive. I doubt he would want me to do it now that he is gone. So he stuck to his guns. He respected the wishes of the artist and didn't try to make himself bigger or more well-known or whatever on the back of somebody that wouldn't have wanted that if they were still alive. Now, after Bad Hair Day, it would be another 3 years before Weird Al was back on the scene. And this time it corresponded with Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, hitting theaters. He did a song called The Saga Begins that was a parody of American Pie from Don McLean. And in it, after a screening of The Phantom Menace, he went home and he wrote this thing and they produced a video very quickly that I believe he directed. And he put it on the album Running With Scissors, which came out in 1999. And we all noticed something different about Weird Al. Back in the 80s, he was always wearing the Hawaiian shirts. He had this tiny mustache. He had his trademark glasses and like curly permed hair. And that was the look he'd always had from day one. Now, the hair was long and still curly, but not curled. And it was down to like below his neck. He had had LASIK surgery, so the glasses were gone. And he finally shaved his upper lip because he realized he couldn't grow a proper mustache, just a comedic one. So he looked very different than when we last saw him. But the music, everything we loved about Weird Al, still there, still intact. The Saga Begins, another big hit for him. And it led the way for his next album just a couple years later called Poodle Hat. Poodle Hat, again, had a collection of good songs on it. It was released in 2003. He had the song eBay, where he talked about all the crap that he can now buy on eBay. He had his parody of Billy Joel's song Piano Man that was now Spider-Man. So he was hitting pop culture as hard as he ever did. In the meantime, he also got married and fathered a child. I believe it's his only child. It's a girl. Yeah, and so he was finding success and was kind of taking life at his own pace. A couple years later, he came out with the album Straight Outta Linwood. Now, he might have had Linwood on his mind. That's where he grew up. That's where he was from. And unfortunately, a couple years before this, his parents had also passed away there. Just before going on stage in, I believe, 2004. He was told that there was a carbon monoxide leak in his parents' home, and his parents were found by the police, and they were both deceased. People were telling him, you can cancel your concert, you don't have to go on. And he said, no, they paid to be here, and they paid to see me, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to do this. And he gave a concert like any other, and it probably was good for him to get distracted from it. And he's talked over the years about how hard this period was, because you expect to lose your parents. Maybe they get older and they kind of deteriorate and you know it's going to happen. But just literally overnight, it wasn't even just one parent. It was both, and just gone in a way that he never could have predicted. So when he came up with in 2006 with the album Straight Outta Linwood, he might have been thinking about his roots a little bit. One song that he did was the single White and Nerdy, which is a parody of Riding by Chamillionaire. And it was really a rap litany of all the things that made him white and nerdy, from favorite TV show theme songs to not being able to decide whether Kirk was better than Picard, talking about Klingon, and just all the nerdy things you can possibly think of. The music video also had Key and Peele in it at the start of like their fame and TV show. And they were like these homies that were like afraid of Weird Al because Weird Al was, you know, so white and nerdy. And White and Nerdy would be the biggest hit that he would have. It would be the one that would be his number one hit after Eat It, which had been almost 20 years before this. So he waited a long time to get another hit, to be back up on the charts, to be that person that we always knew that he could be. Now, after Straight Outta Linwood, a couple more albums came out. He started doing something that was a little bit different, too. He started recording songs and releasing them directly onto iTunes for like a buck. He figured that was kind of the new wave of the future. Instead of doing albums, just whenever he had an idea, go record it, put it out. It didn't have to be this big thing. And he'd be able to recoup his studio money and people would have new Weird Al. So he thought that might be his new model. The record company that he signed with back in the 80s, they owned him for 14 albums. He had this commitment that he had to fulfill. And he had spent a lifetime at this point pretty much trying to do that. So he released the album Alpocalypse, which had parodies from like Lady Gaga on it and some others at that time. I believe he had a Miley Cyrus song. The Party in the USA was now about working at the CIA and assassinating people, and is quite delightful in a very twisted way that could only have come from his mind. As much as everything he had done before was pretty phenomenal, 2014 would be his year. The album Mandatory Fun came out then. And if there's ever a time in history when pop culture would be rife to be parodied, that would be it. That also represented the 14th album that he owed his record company. So the release of that album would basically fulfill that contract, and then he would be a free agent to do whatever he wanted. And at this point, he was in his 50s. He was at a point when most other artists would not really be relevant. And a few days before that album dropped, a Rolling Stone interviewer went to go and interview him for a feature piece in the magazine and dropped the fact that Mandatory Fun, when it released, was going to be released as the number one album that week because of pre-order sales. That had never happened to Weird Al before. And his wife recounted that when the reporter told this to Al, he didn't know what he was going to do or say, and he just walked away because he was so overwhelmed, because this was literally probably the highest point his career had ever been. And that album, if you only hear one Weird Al album, go listen to Mandatory Fun. It's got a lot of really great stuff on it. I shared it with my family when it came out, and we just loved it. It's got the song Word Crimes, which is a parody of Blurred Lines from Robin Thicke. I recommend that song if you're a grammar Nazi, because it's just a whole lot of fun. The video, too, is fun, has some Easter eggs about UHF, and proclaims that Weird Al Yankovic has a big dictionary. So it's a lot of fun. Go check it out. Now, Mandatory Fun in 2014, that was Weird Al's last album to date. Since then, he's taken on some voice work. He's done some work for the Disney Channel. I think he was on Gravity Falls a time or two as well, which is a show seems like would be very much up his alley. These days, he does stuff on the internet. He puts stuff out when he wants to. He did a polka version of songs from the musical Hamilton at the request of Lin-Manuel Miranda. And from all accounts, Weird Al just kind of lives sort of a quiet life. So these days, Weird Al kind of leads a quiet life. In 2022, the biopic Weird, the Al Yankovic story was put out. And as you can imagine, it was a biographical film that was anything but straightforward. It was full of twists and turns and made him look really terrible and told of affairs with like Madonna and having drug addictions and stuff like that. It's not true. None of it's true. I thought that was actually the genius of it, is that it was so not true that it's hilarious that he could be that guy. From all accounts, he leads a pretty quiet life. He's never had a controversy except for his beef with Coolio. And even towards the end of Coolio's life, the rapper said that he was out of line. He was young. He was arrogant. He was out of line. And there's just miscommunication somewhere. And that he enjoyed Weird Al's interpretation of his song. Since 1992, Weird Al has been a vegetarian, though he does say occasionally he cheats on his diet. Friends of Weird Al say that he's polite, shy, and introverted, and even that way among family sometimes. And, you know, for having such a larger-than-life persona on stage, I'm really not surprised. That stage is where he can kind of come out and be maybe who he wishes he could be behind closed doors, or the person he can be when it's scripted and he's playing a character. Over the 40 years of his career, well, I'll tell you this, Weird Al, he's one of the things that made the 80s and 90s and even the 21st century so special. Well, that's it for now. Join us next time when we explore more 80s and 90s pop culture. If you've got any memories of this or other things from the best decades, email me at satmornpod@hotmail.com. And if you're a fan of the 80s, or cartoons from the 80s, be sure to check out the Saturday Morning Podcast hosted by me. We drop a new episode every other Saturday and hope it'll make you feel like a kid again. And now, back to our regularly scheduled program.